The low availability and high cost of housing are ongoing concerns in Oregon, big enough concerns that the Oregon legislature took action on several fronts in the session that recently ended. Oregon is now one of a few states with a rent control law on the books, but that is not the only approach. Cities above 25,000 population will also see changes, as what were single-family housing zones will now permit multiple family structures, the idea being to provide more variety in housing. Now it's up to the cities to implement, and we have two planners from larger towns with us today. In the community with me is Matt Brinkley, who is the City of Medford Planning Director. Matt, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
And by phone from Eugene, Robin Hostick, the City of Eugene Planning Director. Robin, welcome to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Give us an overview, if each of you would. We'll start with you, Robin, about the general situation with housing tightness in the city.
Housing is tight. In Eugene, we have over half of our community is what we would call cost burdened for housing. And basically that means if you spend more than 30% of your income on housing, you qualify as cost burdened. So that's a large portion of the community, obviously. Housing affordability just since 1970 to 2007, we've seen a 145% increase in housing cost, but only a 2% increase overall over inflation in income. So that creates a really tough situation. It's been something that our community's been wrestling with for quite a while.
And what kinds of programs prior to the legislature passing House Bill 2001? I mean, it seems like there have probably been several rounds of initiatives to attempt to inject some new housing at affordable rates into the city of Eugene.
Yeah, there have. In Eugene, the city council has initiated it's kind of an umbrella program around housing affordability that we call Housing Tools and Strategies. For many years, I'll talk about that in a sec, but for many years prior to that, Eugene has had a very active housing affordability program whereby we combine tax incentives that are through the state and also federal funds to try to put together affordable housing with a capital A, basically meaning subsidized housing. And through Housing Tools and Strategies, that we've really expanded what the city is trying to do to include removing barriers to the construction of housing, trying to find other ways to lower the cost of housing. And there's a whole list of actions, I think, an action plan that's going to take probably years to implement. Some of these actions they can't be done overnight. Some of them are actually pretty quick. They have to do with our land use code and kind of the regulatory framework around housing, reducing the time it takes and the cost burden to construct housing, finding ways to increase the inventory of housing, and then some additional options.
All right, so a number of efforts already underway at the local mm-hmm. level. Now, Eugene, about twice the size and population of the city of Medford, but Matt Brinkley, I believe there's a similar story with availability and affordability.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of the things that Robin just mentioned are very familiar to me. And housing affordability and availability isn't a new problem in the Rogue Valley, and certainly the city of Medford being the center of this region and providing a majority of the housing and jobs and so forth. It's a problem that has existed in the city of Medford for a long time. It was recognized quite a while ago in the last housing needs assessment that we did, and that problem hasn't gotten any better. Even with the housing market recovering after the recession, we're building more housing. But one of the problems that I think Robin spoke about just a little bit, that gap between wages and between the cost of housing, whether you're a homeowner or a renter, just keeps on widening. And so this is a priority for the city of Medford. The Medford City Council established a housing advisory committee a couple of years ago to look at this problem very closely as we were finishing up our urban growth boundary amendment and adding more residential land to our urban growth boundary to address that supply issue. We recognized that we had some other issues that we need to look at. And so That Housing Advisory Committee came up with 39 recommendations for removing regulatory barriers to the development of housing, as well as providing economic incentives to encourage the construction of not just more housing, but the types of housing that we need as our population changes here in the Rogue Valley.
Well, the term missing middle housing certainly got thrown around a lot. It ended up being called, I think, just middle housing in the text of House Bill 2001. But this is something that you not only brought Daniel Perelek, who coined the term missing middle housing, to Medford in 2017, was it? He coined the term in 2010. But then you also had him, you did a contract with him until recently, you were telling me before the show.
Yeah, that's right. So Dan came up here in 2017 for a housing summit that was sponsored by the AARP. And it was at that meeting that he made a presentation on missing middle housing. And subsequent to that, as we were looking at the recommendations coming from this Housing Advisory Committee, we put out an RFP to solicit proposals for consultants who could look at this issue of missing middle housing and why we're not producing as much of that housing as we used to. This isn't a new form of housing. This is something that you see in a lot of pre-World War II neighborhoods. This is the way we used to make neighborhoods before we started coming up with a bunch of rules to prevent that from happening.
So big houses split into two or split into four units or apartments over businesses. These are the kinds of things that Dan Perelek talked about when he was on the Exchange a few years ago.
Yeah, and just having,
something between single family and giganto complex.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Really, the middle parts. So essentially, has House Bill 2001 turned missing middle into the approach that Oregon wants to take in larger cities to housing?
Well, I think it's one of the approaches. Certainly the economic side of it, the financial side of it, understanding why we're not producing certain types of housing and why those types of housing aren't attractive to the development community to produce is one of the questions that I think we also need to address. And HB 2001 hints at that when it talks about some of the economic incentives that should be considered by cities as they adopt these regulations or new policies. But I think we have a long way to go before we find an answer. And that answer is not going to be one single solution. It's going to be a variety of things. As Robin was talking about, you really have to look at a variety of economic incentives as well as approaches to reducing regulatory barriers to producing more housing.
We're talking about getting more housing in Oregon, specifically with the idea of House Bill 2001, which passed in the legislature pretty much on its last day, and talks about turning single-family zones in cities 25,000 and above into places where they'll be upzoned, in essence. They can get more units onto pieces of property than were zoned before. Matt Brinkley is the Medford Planning Director. Robin Hostick, the Eugene Planning Director. You have questions or comments, join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Robin Hostick, was there much warning from the legislature or from legislators in Lane County that the HB 2001 was going to come down in this form?
Yeah, certainly. We've been paying attention since the very beginning. And similar to what Matt was talking about just a minute ago, we had also had Daniel Perelek up here in Eugene and worked with AARP and a broad coalition of about 30 different organizations who'd been talking about housing affordability, which led to the conversations that the City Council was having about the Housing Tools and Strategies effort, kind of that umbrella effort I was mentioning. One of our city councilors likes to use the term. He says, well, there's no silver bullet to the challenge. What we're looking for is silver buckshot.
So scattershot, yeah.
Yeah. The question of whether we saw this coming it was very clear. I think that a lot of the this was a grassroots effort in the state. There was a lot of conversation about it beforehand, so it certainly was no surprise.
So what then happens, Robin Hostick, to the people who are living, for example, in a neighborhood that's full of property zoned for single family residences? What happens now?
Yeah, so if you own a single-family home or if you live in an area zoned for single-family homes, this bill affects you. From the outset, duplexes we know will be allowed on every lot. So if you own a single-family home or lot, you will be able to build a duplex according to the new bill. Right now in Eugene, at least, duplexes are only allowed on corner lots with a specific lot size. So that's a big change. Other housing types specifically townhomes, which is basically a house with a shared wall, three or more in a row, triplexes, quadplexes, and cottage clusters, which are basically smaller homes that are located closer together on a lot. All of these types are supposed to be allowed in areas where single-family detached homes are allowed, but not necessarily on every lot. And the bill allows the city to regulate these housing types for what are called reasonable regulations for siting and design. In other words, where can they be built? Lot sizes, how big, how tall, to some extent, how they can look. So these siting and design regulations will probably, I estimate, will be the main questions our council and our community are going to be considering when we amend our code to comply with the bill. So right out of the gates, we've already had people calling and saying, hey, I'm ready to build my duplex. can I have a permit? And the answer is, well, this is going to take some time. So in the immediate future, nothing is going to change. All of our current regulations still apply. So we're just asking folks to call and ask if they have questions about what works and what doesn't under the current code. After that, we have 3 years to comply with the bill, and that's the majority of the bill. There's one exception for accessory dwelling units that actually goes into effect January 1st, 2020, and specifically does not allow cities to require owner occupancy to create an accessory dwelling unit, which is basically a granny flat, maybe above the garage or some, people have different names for them. But it's a smaller sort of accessory building to the main home.
So the owner doesn't have to live in either unit, you're saying?
That's right. Mm-hmm. The legislature has specifically disallowed cities from requiring an owner to live in either unit. And it also specifically disallows cities from requiring additional off-street parking for an accessory dwelling unit. So those specific provisions go into effect January 1st, 2020. Everything else in terms of compliance with the bill, cities have 3 years to figure it out and to adopt local regulations that comply with the bill. So my guess that's the path that we will be on.
Mm-hmm. Robin, the parking part you just mentioned, so no requirement for off-street parking, you're saying?
That's correct, and that's specifically for accessory dwelling units.
What about for the duplexes, fourplexes, et cetera?
That provision does not apply to those, according to the bill.
Okay. We are talking about housing zoning in Oregon and how cities above 25,000 single-family zones will now have to allow multiple family housing in those zones. We're talking to Robin Hostick, the planning director for the City of Eugene, Matt Brinkley, the planning director for the City of Medford. You can join our conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. Robin said 3 years to compliance, Matt Brinkley. I don't know what the rates of progress are in the planning business. Does that sound like a lot of time or like a breakneck pace?
Well, sometimes the wheels of government turn slowly.
So we hear.
More slowly than some would like. But the City of Medford has been looking at this issue prior to the legislature taking action. I think it was clear from a couple years ago with what they were doing with ADUs that something like this was coming down the line. And for the City of Medford, we're trying to be proactive in finding solutions to our housing availability and affordability challenges. And so we'll be looking at cottage clusters. We have a policy that's coming before a planning commission and city council that'll, I think, come to city council in August. And from there, we have some other housing policy that will be changing by the end of the year, recommendations, working with recommendations that were made by Optico's Dan Paralek's consultancy.
Dan Paralek, the missing middle coiner term.
Exactly, coiner. Exactly. So we're trying to be proactive about it, not because we feel that we need to comply with this law, but because we feel that we need good housing policy that addresses the needs of our current and future residents.
So was the Medford City Council, city staff, thinking in terms of the kind of density that will be essentially dictated by 2001, or is this a bit beyond what you had been talking about?
Well, I think that the density issue is really kind of separate from what we've been talking about. It's not just about density, increasing the number of units per unit of land. It's about providing the kind of housing that meets the needs and is attractive to the residents that we have right now and the residents that we're going to have in the future. So we have an aging population here in Southern Oregon that is that's a reality. And that means that household composition is going to change. And as household composition changes and we have smaller households with more single householder households, the housing needs to change with that. So we're looking at smaller units, you know, like a cottage cluster where, you know, maybe that outdoor amenity, that outdoor open, that open space is shared with your neighbors and you share in the cost of maintaining it, becomes something that becomes appealing to our changing demographics.
When we talk about things like the disappearance of the so-called missing middle housing, I can see when you talk about the change of composition in society, the change in demographics, how these things can happen. I mean, the things that would have been the kinds of large houses for big families that used to exist in the United States that would have been converted into duplexes or triplexes or fourplexes weren't built for a long time, I would think, because we weren't building houses for big families as families got smaller. So these are the kinds of trends we talk about that get us to places where we are right now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'm in the business of planning and thinking about the future. So we're thinking not about next year necessarily. We're thinking about that, but we're also thinking about 20 years, 30 years, 50 years down the line.
Let us take a call in here. Don in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about housing and some changes coming in Oregon with House Bill 2001 with Matt Brinkley, the Medford City Planner, and Robin Hostick, the Eugene City Planner. Hi, Don.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I just turned 80, so I've seen a few of these things happen. I grew up around Westwood, where UCLA was created in 1930, I believe, and some ski bums from Idaho who built, I guess it's called Sun Valley, they developed that for the Harrimans, were hired to develop Westwood, which was a nice community built from avocado orchards and bean fields. And it was a nice place to grow up in the 40s and 50s. But if you go there now, it's totally ruined. It's not the same. And the machine has operated there, the political machine that needs revenue, the building and real estate businesses have operated. And if you read the book, I think it was Carl Rowan who Builds America, you realize that it's money that drives it. The governments need more revenue to pay their bankrupt pension systems, and they need more density. They need to bring people in. I came to Oregon because it was not like that. I came here not only for the natural beauty, but for the, by the way, I was the assistant planner in Eugene at one time, and I became director of planning for Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is really a great place. It was planned by King Philip, and he did a pretty good job back in the 1600s. That plan has held up and property values have soared, especially where you have mixed-use development, people selling what they make and making the stuff in the back room and then living up above. Canyon Road is the most valuable real estate and a very desirable.
Instance. All right, so your concern is we're going to end up with a California-style development now in Oregon, Don. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yeah, you know the word, California. I think Tom McCall's sign at the border was really excellent. And, of course, I don't mean to be the last guy in the valley here, but I think we might think about intensive development. I've lived in Italy where density is much higher, and the villages are much nicer. There's something, the way that they do it without cars, you know, in the medieval times. Mm-hmm. You have wonderful places where people come together all times of the night and day, and it's dense and it's happy. I don't know, I'm kind of concerned about this. We live in a 100-year-old house where we raised four kids, and it was great. And the schools were great. And I mean, it's if we could preserve that, it would be great without historic preservation. But
All right, let's get some.
I think so. If we do the really dense, lively villages, I think within a city, that I think that's a good model. And I guess that's all I can say today. But anyway, right. Good luck, you guys. And Don, let's hope it works.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. So Robin, I mean, Don's in Eugene where you are, and you mentioned you've been getting some contact so far. Are people expressing concerns similar to what Don's talking about?
Yeah, there's a few concerns out there for sure. I think you have different schools of thought. Obviously, there's a huge spectrum of opinions, and we'll be hearing from everyone, no doubt, as we work towards implementation. One of the cornerstones of a recent vision that Eugene has created called Envision Eugene that was created through a really deep community collaboration over many years is exactly what Don was saying about having clusters of people living together kind of in smaller village-like settings within the city. We call that a 20-minute neighborhood, and essentially it's being able to meet most of your daily needs within a short walk of your home. And we could also call that a healthy, walkable neighborhood. Now, a lot of the neighborhoods that we have today, I think about 80% of the land area of our city is actually in an R1 zone, so the single low-density single-family zone. Many of these places, because they're large areas that don't have necessarily nearby commercial services, we're working to have most areas close to a park, that sort of thing. The idea that you have more people living closer to where those services already exist and also closer to where you have, for example, transit service or good bike paths or recreation, all of that is a high priority, and it's been part of the vision. Now, of course, that has to be balanced with the idea of preserving the qualities that we love most about Eugene. And therein lies the rub. We really love the community the way it is. Many people live here for those qualities. So it's a balance. And trading off one for the other is going to be the conversation of the day.
All right, and a conversation we will have in the future as well. I want to get Matt Brinkley in just before we go. A couple seconds left. You have some wiggle room, it sounds like, under House Bill 2001, but you do have to change your comprehensive plan and your codes.
I don't think that we'll need to change our comprehensive plan, and we're working on those code changes. But HB 2001 does allow local control over development standards, as Robin mentioned earlier, and that means as long as you have clear and objective standards, you can address some of the issues that the gentleman brought up earlier and prevent this infill housing from changing the character of a neighborhood.
Okay, Matt Brinkley, Medford Planning Director, Robin Hostick, Eugene Planning Director, thank you both for joining us on The Exchange.